Man, another day, another pair of wins for Auburn recruiting. We thought one was coming yesterday. Zach told you. Zach basically did everything but tell you it was coming during the show yesterday.
Knew about one of them. The other one was a bombshell, Brad Law. I'm putting my child to sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, excuse me, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Chance, what?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Take chicken chance. Yep. Take a chance on me. And so four-star safety, four-star offensive lineman yesterday. It was what we call a double four-star day.
Yeah, some people called it an eight-star Monday.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people, but I have heard people refer to it as that. Sure.
Yeah. A double four-star day. Listen, anytime you get...
Brad, I was told we only get three stars.
Yeah.
That's what they told me.
It's a big day for three-star you. Big day for three-star you. Probably not guys that'll play, though. I mean, we're just talking about a four-star offensive lineman who's big and stands out among everybody else.
Yeah, that Texas really wanted.
Yeah. And then a coveted safety that Georgia really wanted.
Well, I mean, Kirby Smart, Kirby Smart really wants him at defensive back, does that mean he's good? I don't know. Does Kirby Smart have a track record with DBs? I don't know.
I think it's time to start talking about if Alex Golish really wants you, you're probably pretty good.
There it is.
And oh, by the way, if Alex Golish really wants you, he's probably going to get you. You probably need to start picking out some orange and blue like color palettes for your room and such.
Did you know?
Tell me.
Did you know that according to On3/Rivals,
mm-hmm.
over half of Georgia's class is three stars?
No kidding.
8 of 13.
Huh.
But I thought we were.
Yeah.
I thought it was Auburn.
Is there a new three-star you? Are people beginning to talk that maybe, you know what? Dadgummit, Zach, that's something else. Auburn's lost. Auburn couldn't even hold on to the moniker three-star you. They lost that to Georgia.
And just because we hear from Bama fans too.
Yeah.
Alabama has 9 players committed.
Okay.
5 of them are three-stars, according to On3/Rivals.
Running back commitment, right?
Man.
They got a running back commitment yesterday. I think he was a three-star guy. I don't know why you wouldn't.
They did. Yeah.
And it's understandable why you'd want to go there as a running back. Their commitment.
And look, they've got 2 quarterbacks committed, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. So,
well, but whatever. You use 2 quarterbacks and only 1 running back in a game pretty regularly. Pretty regularly. Right?
I don't know.
I'm
sure it's fine.
Again,
they don't have an offensive line committed. I'm sure it's fine.
You would understand. What is happening? What is this recruiting cycle? And is this what you're supposed to do?
I think you're seeing folks who have dominated for the last decade.
Yeah.
The market has shifted to where, all right, if you were a program that was used to dominating, you could accept a hometown discount. You could guarantee a championship. And now I think 2 things are happening. 1, you can't guarantee championships anymore. Not just them, just anyone. It's impossible to guarantee a championship. And so these kids are smart. I don't think people understand how savvy these kids are. You talk to them, and it's like you are talking like you're 25 years old. Like you were just, you were able to they understand what's happening so much. Because all of this development for them is like, it's happening so fast. All these conversations and so much information that they're learning. So I think that's one aspect of it. I think the other aspect of it is you've got this old school style from some places that are like, well, if you don't want to be here and you're not going to adjust, well, we're just not going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. And some people call it overpaying. I don't think at scale, you can overpay, but I think when you look at what Auburn's done so far, like, I don't think you can overpay for a lot of these types of players.
Yeah. And certainly you can't know. You can't know till you get the result. You can't say in the moment if you're overpaying or not.
That's right.
It's not possible to know if you're overpaying or underpaying in the moment.
And that's where you got to scout, right? And that's what it seems like Golish is really good at, and his staff is really good at.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like we did whatever it took to get Isaac McNeil. I don't think you can overpay for him.
Yeah.
I don't. If he's what we think he can be, I don't think you can overpay for a guy like that. Oh, yeah, sorry, I derailed your show. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. You're on. Keep going. You're cooking. I'm just going to let you cook. I ain't going to get in the way.
I'm done. Go ahead.
If he's an all-conference player for 2 years, but Auburn wins 8 games, 8-4, and doesn't go to the playoff, did you overpay? And I don't know what they're paying, but did you overpay?
Is the defense good?
Defense is good.
Offense is meh in this scenario? Yeah, we were held back because of the offense?
Yeah, like you lose 4 games by 8 total points. I mean, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you probably didn't overpay.
Okay. And certainly if he's fine, he's not an all-conference player, but the defense is good and you go 10-2. Did you overpay? He's part of it. No, you didn't overpay. I mean, it's just...
No, who cares? The roster's... You win 10 games, you're fine. Yeah.
We talk in such black and white terms. We talk in such binary, just it's this or it's that. And that's just not the way sports or life works. It's not that way. This whole world is not black and white. It's a million shades of gray.
Sure.
There are so many. It's not a 2D world. It's a 3D world. There's lots of dimensions. So
4D.
It could be 4D. Yeah. Could be even more.
4Ds. Never mind.
No, don't do that. Four stars.
Four stars.
That's there you go. A double four-star day. I think this class is on its way to a top 10 class. I thought that a little while back, even before the surprise commitment of Chance yesterday. I think the coaches believe they're on their way to a four-star class. Like, they're just, they're talking about it with such confidence internally. It tells me they know stuff like this that's probably not on the average fan's radar yet. They had to have had conversations with guys that they feel great about that you're just not hearing a lot of talk about just yet.
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about four guys in particular. Tay Walden, my favorite player in the 2027 class. I think he's unbelievable. If he wants to play receiver or corner, I hope he goes to Auburn, and I hope he does both. I hope we have our own Travis Hunter. That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
But I think he's exceptional. I think the staff is making him a priority, which just real quick, Brad, what happens when the staff makes someone a priority? Just real quick.
They get him.
They get him.
They get him.
Auburn feels really good about the two edges from Maryland, Ryan Jackson, who could pop this week. His Twitter says tomorrow's date, I believe. So be on the lookout for that. And then on Juneteenth, on the 19th, Pace is committing.
Okay.
Auburn feels pretty good about that.
Yep.
And the big one is Carlos May. The big one has always been Carlos May, both figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
And his is August 2nd. And that's an important one. And other folks have kind of gotten to him. So that's what we all thought. That one's going to be a battle.
Yeah. But even if you get all four of those, does that give you a top 10 class? Are you there with those
I haven't
four?
Done the class calculator.
Right.
Probably. But I'm going to be honest. Okay. If you get all four of them, I don't care. You can rank us 50th. I don't care.
Right. Yeah, we get tied up. We get too caught up in the numbers sometimes. But I do think that's coming. I think those, whether it's those four and no more, or those four and others that aren't a part of that discussion, I think they're coming. So more momentum. It continues. It's a good day. You know what I love, Zach? I love the former players that are starting to comment about it on social media, because I feel like there's been a hesitancy for a little while to maybe speak out publicly on these recruiting wins.
Not here on the barn, though.
No, but I'm talking about from former players on social media.
Yeah, I'm just saying Chandler Wooten's been all over it.
No, that's a good point. He is all over it. And by the way, you need to watch the latest episode of his show, Landing on the Plains. If you haven't seen it, check it out. He is not holding back, and it's awesome. So, but you're seeing other guys do it too, and it tells me that, you know, maybe we're not just two podcasters who are hyping something up, but like the people who know how this thing works on the inside are taking notice. And Alex Golish and his staff are getting people's attention. So it's good. It's good to talk recruiting in June and recruiting wins and get you a little bit closer to the day. You know, we're Terry Beasley days away from kickoff.
How about that?
88 days. 88 days. I'm wearing Roback today. If you would like to wear Roback at some point and get 20%, somebody asked online a couple days ago. They need some shirts. They need some polos. They need to be good quality, not cheap. But they also don't want to pay an arm and a leg. Well, go to Roback.com and use promo code BARN20, all together, B-A-R-N-2-0, BARN20. You get 20% off your entire order at Roback.com. Polos, hoodies, quarter zips, hats, all of it. Roback.
Also want to encourage you to join our channel. Become a member. If you click subscribe here on YouTube, that subscribe button turns into a join button, and we'd love to have you. We are making pretty much an extra Village Vice pretty much every day. We call it the Village Vice post show. Got a little emotional yesterday. I'm tearing up during the Village Vice post show yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they call that raw emotion.
Yeah.
And passion.
How'd it feel? How'd it feel?
It felt good.
Okay.
Felt good.
Good.
And then you get access to the Village Vice post show. You get access to Afternoon Delight, and obviously let us know what else you want. We got film breakdowns coming. Talking to somebody about some other shows that they could do behind the paywall. So hopefully that works itself out quickly. But sure. Become a member today. Also supports the channel, and we appreciate you a ton.
Yep. Good stuff. All right. Can we, speaking of serious, can we have another serious family meeting? There was a really interesting comment on yesterday's show.
Okay.
And I was going to, I kind of dismissed it initially, but then I said, no, let me try to think critically. Let me go back and read this again and see if we can have some discussion off of it. I'm not going to read the entire comment because it's long, but basically it was a reaction to talking about the baseball season and talking about the highlights of the baseball season and pointing out that it was okay to be bitterly disappointed about losing in a super regional, but also acknowledging that there were a lot of really positive moments and benchmarks and things like that throughout the season. Okay. And this individual did not like that, not one bit. I mean, really didn't like that. And the argument, one thing is always true about Auburn, that we always dig through the pure horror to find a few sprinkles of good things and then claim that it's really all a success. Powerful imagery, a little dramatic, or a lot dramatic. But then it said, tired of a culture of endless justification of mediocrity. After all, we're family. Family doesn't hold each other to the highest standards, and that is why we will always fall just short. It's a pervasive culture. It took, and this is a little flex on their part here, it took going to an Ivy League grad school to learn how to compete and win. Everyone loves being at Auburn. It's comfortable. It's forgiving of its worst performances, as long as you're the right kind of person. It's comfortable. It's always without accountability. All right. What do you think about that, Zach?
The took going to an Ivy League grad program to learn how to compete is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You can go to Auburn, and as long as you don't rock the boat, which means challenging the accepted ceiling, you'll be fine. They continue.
So I guess my first question is like, who determines the accepted ceiling? I guess is my first question.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody out there is saying, I think it's people like this, which I'm going to question somebody who went to a grad school and an Ivy League school here.
Yeah.
I don't think individuals like this are having the same conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bummed that Auburn lost in the Supers for the last 2 years. I hate it. And, I love that Auburn added another pitcher, but I want to see some bats added. I want to see some pop be added, and I want to see approaches change, especially in the postseason with these at-bats. Don't get me wrong, but to act like Auburn's in this terrible spot, that's just, it's just not true.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had elite recruiting classes in back-to-back years. When you look at this freshman class, you look at the sophomore class that you should be able to retain everyone. Yeah. I just don't think he's having the same conversation. I'm assuming it's a he. I'm assuming they're not having the same conversation that we are. I think they're talking about something different.
Well, it's responding to a conversation we didn't have, because the conversation was very clearly, you can do both. You can be disappointed, but also point out, like, you can acknowledge, it's okay. It's not weak to acknowledge that there were a lot of really good moments. And, oh, by the way, a lot of moments where the team did come through in clutch situations. You don't win 7 SEC series and dominate rubber games and things like that. And if you move the goalposts and not consider those clutch situations, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you actually trying to accomplish with your conversation? The part of the conversation I thought was interesting was that Auburn is a comfortable place. And I think we've seen some coaches that get to Auburn and maybe we don't see the same competitive edge that you saw from them at other places.
So we've talked about this here on the show. Yeah. I think for a lot of coaches, and maybe a lot's not fair, but some amount qualifier.
Yeah.
The journey is to get to the SEC, or in the case of some coaches, maybe to get back to the SEC.
Yeah.
I will 100% agree with that. But I don't think that's an Auburn thing. I think that's right. I mean, I think you'd say the same thing about, you know, what Florida has gone through recently. You know, we'll see what happens at Arkansas. I think there's a lot of folks, the goal is to get to the SEC. I don't think the goal is necessarily Auburn. I think the goal is just, can you get to the premier conference in athletics? And you've got to, and this is just on whoever's hiring, is you've got to see, is the goal for the person to get to compete at the highest level, or is the goal for somebody to compete and win at the highest level? And I just don't think you can fully know that until they're here. Goalish, I don't think, is content just being in the SEC. I think he wants to win.
Right. Yeah.
Hugh Freeze, man, it really looks like he just wanted to get back to prove it to himself, or to prove it to somebody that he can get back to the SEC after getting, you know, with everything that happened to Ole Miss. So that I 1,000% agree with.
Yeah. I also think it sort of logically, you have to ask the follow-up question, what else would you want administration to do in these situations? Your last two football coaches were fired halfway through year three and halfway through year two.
Right.
What more accountability are you asking for from the football program? Or is the argument not with the football program? What accountability more do you want than to cut those coaches loose in year three and year two? He said, well, they should have fired him after New Mexico State in 2023. No, they shouldn't. Not in year one. You don't do that. You don't do that because you can't hire anybody else if you do that. It sounds macho, and there's a lot of bravado in, well, if somebody's scared of competing, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not realistic.
Yeah, let's go through all of them. The folks upset with Stephen Pearl. Like, one, can you let him go after, because you missed the tournament in year one?
Right. Although
it was a brutal end to the regular season. I'm not defending that at all. And Steven would say the same thing, because I know the type of competitor that he is.
Right.
But if you let him go, they're like, who are you going to, like, who's going to want this job?
Yeah. That's not a weak attitude, by the way. That's business. That's being a good leader. You also have to give him a full, like, you have to give him a set amount of time to completely construct a roster, to run a full off season. Right,
so, like, you can say, what do you want them to do? Like, well, let them go. And it's like, okay, but you can't do that. Now, I think the conversation about, you know, specifically for basketball, I think that changes after this year, depending on what it looks like and all that. Yeah. But, and then with baseball, it's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get rid of Butch? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to make changes, you know, positionally, I think that's a conversation you can absolutely have.
Sure. And we're 2 days removed from the season ending. Like you're in portal windows, you're in all those things. So things are happening. To assume that there's no accountability is a wild assumption. And I just don't see evidence of a lack of accountability in these other sports. I see bad timing in basketball, and I see bad timing there. I see coaches that have been let go very early, relatively speaking anyway, the last two times through in football. And yeah, with baseball, you're talking about a program that is one of the only ones in the country to make a super regional back-to-back years. It's hard to do. They've done it. We've changed what the floor is for baseball. It doesn't mean it always stays there. What is acceptable and what's not does fluctuate. It does change. And ideally, it keeps getting higher and higher. But this idea that there's no accountability, I don't see evidence of that. And so until I see evidence of that, it's just sensational, dramatic language. Am I off base there?
Yes, because here's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to go to a grad program in an Ivy League school to learn how to compete.
I gotcha. I can't compete unless I go to an Ivy League grad school.
Guess so.
This individual is well-spoken. They're well-written. You know, I appreciate it. And like I say, I agree. Like, I think there's some underlying tenets there that I think could be, like, yeah, Auburn people are forgiving. They're welcoming. They're, you know, sure. What do you want? You want Auburn people to be less that way?
Right.
I don't understand exactly what we're asking for when we have that conversation. And to put the spotlight on baseball again, to overlook and to say sprinkle in a few good things and call the rest of it like abject horror,
mm-hmm.
is dramatic. You lose the power of the point you're trying to make when you're unnecessarily dramatic about it. Okay. Thanks for coming to the family meeting today.
I'm going to go apply for grad schools now. So I can.
I wish I had. I'm not competitive enough to apply for grad schools, though, because I went to Auburn. I don't know how to compete.
Yeah.
Stinks for me, I guess.
Post show coming up. Yeah. Join today. Support the channel. Would mean everything. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for being part of it, watching, listening, and remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.